Welcome back to Laudio, or Lutheran Audio. I'm Lisa McIntosh. Today I'm speaking with Pastor Rob Edwards, who, with his local congregation of Peace Lutheran Church at Gatton in Queensland, has been getting excited about mission to their local community. And one of the outreach-focused events they've tried is Bring a Friend Sunday, for which each member is encouraged to, unsurprisingly, bring a friend who doesn't normally go to church. So thanks for joining us today, Pastor Rob.
And thanks for having me, Lisa. It's a great opportunity to talk about simple things in mission that just could work.
Bring a Friend Sunday. So where did the idea come from?
Yeah, that was an interesting question. I never thought of the idea actually coming from somewhere. To me, that's just what you do. And when I think of where it come from, I've got to think of that bit in the Bible, you know, the come and see Jesus bit, where one of the disciples, who was it, Philip or Andrew, said to his brother, come and see. And I suppose he started it. So to me, if you're excited about something, if you like a thing, then you're going to share it with your friends. Something that hasn't made sense for me all my life is that people keep their faith secret. And so that's something that all my ministry I've tried to change, to try and make it easier and more relaxed. To me, you should be able to talk about your faith in the pub. And if you can't, well, then let's try and work out what's going on here. So the idea just sort of grew. And I think in America, they have a back to church Sunday where you invite your friends to church. So I really don't know where this started, but I know it's always been in the back of my head as something that we should do.
Okay.
It was just a natural thing.
When did the planning for it start?
Well, beginning of last year, really, was just a matter of looking for an opportunity. And as 30th of October was coming up, that, you know, was the original longest Lutheran lunch. And so I thought, well, let's not just talk about food. Let's shift that to talk about friends. Because they used to have the longest Lutheran lunch here, but the difficulty was getting people to stay after a 9 o'clock service for lunch. So people would go away and then they'd come back and only two people would come back, that kind of thing. And so they eventually gave up here. And so the idea was already there that something like this could happen, but we just don't know how. And so I thought, well, I'm not just going to spring it on people. I'm going to have a little lead up. And so we did a viral care month. So September last year was viral care month. After COVID, you know, we want viral care. And the idea was to play a little game in the congregation to show just how exponential sharing faith can get. So the plan was I would call two people. Those two people would call two people. Those two people would call two more people. The rules were you could only call people within the congregation, those people that you knew that were members. And then when people started getting calls from other people, we would stop and see how far it got. Well, it was a fizzler. Nothing happened. I thought, well, that's not a good lead up. But anyway, I went ahead with the projection of Bring a Friend Sunday. We started talking about it nearly 2 months early because you need at least 6 weeks lead up to anything. So 2 months before, we started talking about Bring a Friend Sunday. And I said, all you've got to do is bring a friend along and we'll try and make it a nice service. We'll have a bang-up morning tea. And it was a combined service. Normally we have two services. Fifth Sunday, we joined together with one service. And I didn't really sense a real buzz. But anyway, when we got to the Sunday morning, we'd been talking about it. We've been sending out emails about it. We've been putting it on Facebook, on our website. And then on the morning when we were starting, I was there and 15 minutes before church, there were about two people there. And one lady came up to me and touched my arm and said, it's exciting, isn't it? And I thought, yes, we've got it. That's it. If nothing else happens today, then that's it. Somebody got excited about mission. And then people started flooding in and it was amazing. We over-doubled. So it just took off as something that people wanted to do. Quite amazing, yeah.
That's great. And is it your particular church community that you think suits this type of approach, or do you think it could work anywhere?
I think it could work anywhere. But in saying that, I'm always a big one for don't transplant the thing, transplant the why you did it. And so if you haven't got the why, then the what doesn't matter. You can get 1,000 people in church, and if you haven't got the why, you're wasting your time. So any church that's keen to reconnect with people or to connect with new people, it'll work. It may not work as well as doubling your attendance. Like the second time we did it, it wasn't as good. And I knew that would happen, as that's quite to be expected. But that's the thing. It's people getting excited about mission and seeing that it's possible. They move from, we can't do this, to, hey, we could do it. It's not that hard. So that's been the shift. But any church can do it, whether you're a church of six with five 80-year-olds and one young 70-year-old, you know, it's going to work. Because if you do things your way and you're excited about what you're doing, that's the key. Yeah. If you like what you're doing, then why won't somebody else? But if you think your church is boring, then you're not going to be excited about inviting someone else. So change what you're doing so that you can be excited about bringing someone else. If you don't think someone else is going to be interested in what you're doing, then why are you doing what you're doing? That's my question. So, yeah, any church can do it.
Who has to be on board for it to happen? In the case of peace at Gatton, who had to be on board? Was it the whole congregation? Was it a ministry team? Was it a worship team? Was it just a couple of enthusiastic people?
I think the majority of people have to be on board because the whole point of mission is that everyone is a player. There's no spectators. And so if I just get up the front and say, look, the elders are all going to invite their friends along, be nice to them, it's not going to work. Even if that worked, that would be the wrong message to send, because Jesus gave us all the Great Commission, not just to be held by one small group. So everyone has to be on board. And there were some who weren't, but in the end, they couldn't stop the runaway success of it, because there were little old ladies walking into church, announcing proudly, look, Pastor, I brought two, and having two beaming friends, one on each arm. It was just a fantastic time.
That's wonderful. And were there any stipulations as to what type of friend to invite? Does it have to be a really close friend? Does it have to be someone who'd previously been a church goer but had stopped going to church for one reason or another? Does it have to be a particular kind of person that you would invite? And did you suggest to people they might consider that, or was it anybody?
Good question, because when people are new to it, they don't know what to do from the ground up. And so I talked a lot about who you're going to invite. You can invite your neighbour. You can invite somebody who's been perhaps asking about church or wonders what you do there. You can invite your sons and daughters who haven't been for a while. You can invite someone that used to be in a pew next to you that's not with you. So we kept listing those possibilities. Firstly, just for that reason, so that people didn't prejudge anyone out, that no one was criteriaed out. But you could see the cogs ticking as I was listing the possibilities, people going, oh, yeah, and they'd connect with a name that they could invite.
You've talked about it being a success, even maybe a runaway success. You've talked about the excitement that it generated. Is that how you measure the so-called success of something like this? Is it purely to do with the excitement for mission, or is it also to do with the numbers of people who come in?
Certainly both. The excitement for mission is primary, I think, because people don't think mission is possible. And so seeing that it was so easy and so possible and getting excited about it, that was a key. It unlocked a door for a lot of people saying, well, our church doesn't have to die. And the other one, as far as the numbers on the seats are concerned, that also is a measure of success, because it shows that people can do it. and that the people were actually keen to come along. We weren't actually imposing something on them. We were actually inviting them to something that they were keen about anyway. And so the measure of success was pretty simple, but the idea was simple. The next thing to go on from there would be discipleship and getting people into small groups and Bible study groups. But I didn't even enter into that because let's keep it simple. Let's do step one and then we'll do step two.
Yeah, sure. And you mentioned you've done it again since. How long did you wait between Bring a Friend Sundays?
It was nearly 6 months until we did it again. I'm planning to increase that to once a quarter for a year, so hoping to get it to be a regular thing. Mm. But that was different. It was an ordinary Sunday where we had two separate services. And so both services were Bring a Friend services. But we got a bit more serious then. There were different rules. There was another rule added that during the week afterwards, you were to call the friend that you invited and ask them how they found it, just to get a bit of feedback. Whether anyone did that or not, I don't know, but that was the rules. And we did the same publicity with that, that this was going to happen. And so naturally, being a little bit more serious, there was a little bit lesser uptake, but still people invited their friends, people brought them along, and then I believe followed up.
Have you seen people who came along as a friend to either of those days come back?
No, they've just been, you know, the one time only. And that's why the next step is the follow-up. I believe it'll take a while for there to be long-term success because it's got to be coupled with other things too. Maybe then a follow-up invitation to something else like an inquirer's class or that kind of thing. So it'll take a while for that to bite as far as a growing tip of the church. So far, no ongoing increase in membership. So the levies won't go up yet. That's pleasing but not complete. We've still got work to do.
So who benefits from this? Is it just those who come along as a friend? Is it those who invite them? Is it the whole church community?
Certainly the whole church community. Because remember I said there were those who were naysayers. And they see this happen and they see people sitting in the pews and they go, oh, this can't be all bad. So everybody benefits. They all benefit from the crowd in church. They see someone there who hasn't been there for years and they enjoy the catch-up and the refreshment of the relationship. So everybody benefits, even the grumps in the corner.
That's great. Now, you mentioned you had a bang-up morning tea afterwards, which I find always helps get people along. Were there other important attributes of such a service? Is it a matter of making sure it's not overly long, that it's simpler in format perhaps than usual, or just combining it with the social elements like a morning tea or a lunch?
You need a hook. It's not a matter of trying to sell something, but you've got to think of your target audience. And so the preaching is simpler, very gospel focused. We're not going to try and turn you into long-term members right now. We're just going to tell you about Jesus. So it's all going to be about Jesus. It's all going to be about the joy of salvation. That's all we're doing. And we're not going to bother with communion. That's a bit too much for you at the moment. We don't know where you stand with that or what you're thinking. So we're not going to try and confuse you. We're just going to go simple. We're going to have some nice songs that you can toe tap to, whether they be the favourite old hymns, Take Thou My Hand and Lead Me, has got to be in there because probably maybe confirmed or something, and that's going to ring some bells in the back of the head. We had a parody of I'm a Believer by the Monkees, and that was fun. Everybody enjoyed that because we've got quite a lot of quite traditional people here, but they're also of an age where they can't resist tapping their toes to that particular song, and then to have the words changed, it was just good fun all round. So we had those little hooks, something that could connect with people, and they say, well, this can be a very human thing to do. This is something that we could do. We don't have to be holy rollers to do this church thing. And the funny thing about the morning tea as well, I didn't organise a bang-up morning tea. It just happened because you could see people go, oh, maybe I'll cook my specialty for that day. Maybe I'll make a slice for that day. And the stuff that was brought out, it was the feeding of the 5,000 in reverse. It really was. And so knowing that new people were coming, hospitality came to the fore. And the slices there were like little voting slips. you know, we support this thing. It was like little applauds and cheer.
Yes, Lutheran slices are famous. And is there anything else you'd like to say for congregations who might be considering doing a similar thing? Is there any other advice that you would give?
Yeah, give it a go. If you have an idea, just run with it until you hit a brick wall, because it's not going to happen automatically. Mission doesn't just happen. Church growth doesn't just happen. If we leave things alone, the rules of entropy come into play and things just fall in a heap. But it doesn't have to be that way. The smallest church can grow, and it doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to be an expert to do it. It just needs one idea. If you haven't got one, pinch one of mine, but give it a go. Because if you do it and you fail, you might only get two people instead of 20, but that's still two. Mm. The worst that's going to happen is that you're going to discover something that doesn't work. Mm. And let the statistic work for you. They reckon that 3 out of 5 mission efforts will succeed. I reckon it's closer to 2 out of 5. But if they reckon 3 out of 5 will succeed, if you've had a failure, you've got one out of the way. Mm. There's only one more out of the way and you're in for success. So let the statistics work for you. Give it a go. You can't fail, because there's no such thing as a failure when you're trying mission. You'll either discover something that doesn't work, or it'll work in a way that you don't realise. We've had things happening here, and we've had people who don't come to this church that I've seen 6 months later at a funeral, and they come in and they say, oh, you're the church that did this. I've been interested in that. And it's something that I thought didn't work. But it's had this background effect somewhere that it's just softened someone to our church. So you don't know what's going to work. You just got to try something and keep trying things until you break through.
And, of course, we don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing in the background in these people's lives after we've had encounters with them. Is it a reminder that mission is all about relationships?
Mission is about three things: relationships, relationships, and relationships. It's not about anything else. So anything that develops a relationship between me and another person is going to help down the track with a relationship between them and God. So if I get that little thing in place, then down the track somewhere, we can turn that into a discussion about God. And every bit of relationship that I have with other people is going to bring that one step closer. So it's all about relationships, and God is always up to something. So if we keep moving, if we keep doing something, we're putting ourselves in the box seat for seeing God to break through.
And I believe you do some other, what we might consider different types of things with your church community, which possibly might reach people other than regular churchgoers. Is that right? I've heard about country music gatherings in your home. I've heard about a coffee shop.
Got a cappuccino here from our cafe, which is just next door to my office.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about those things or anything else that you're doing there that people might be inspired by.
Well, the cafe is ticking along nicely. It needs to do better financially. We need to sell more coffee because it's running as a business. But it's a roaring success as far as the relationship thing goes, because there are people in there now who wouldn't normally be in church, and there are people who contribute with making slices and that kind of thing. There's one lady who's too sick to come to church because she's battled with cancer for many years, but she loves making slices. And so I see her walking across the lawn once a week, bringing in her macadamia slice and a blondie slice, which are just fantastic. They are world-class stuff. She could go on MasterChef with these slices. We've got them in our cafe. And it's just fantastic. So you have this sort of thing happening. People, you know, gives them an opportunity for service that they didn't previously have, gives them an opportunity for outlet, and then you get an old lady who loves to bring her friends in, and once a week she'll bring 3 or 4 friends in and they'll sit down for a coffee or a tea and a chat, and it gets a bit loud there because their hearing aids are all not quite functioning correctly, but it's just fantastic. And so it creates this kind of buzz in the community. Our goal was to reach the school families because they go past all the time. COVID wrecked that because we don't have now the gathering of mums in the car park and across the road, but because it's split, habitually spread out their drop-off points. But not to worry, we're getting there. So it's creating an opportunity for people to gather and sit and chat. So it's been really good that way.
Mm. So you're co-located with the school or near the school, yeah. Is that right? And when did you start a cafe there and how does that operate?
They have these mission outreach grants and I applied for one and didn't get it for a youth and family worker. And so I thought, well, I'll come up with something different. And so I thought, an evangelical barista, how about that? And so that one got up. But it's sort of bringing a few ideas together because Lutherans are very good at institutional stuff. We've got a long way to go before we're going to have an evangelical outreach tent in the village square or something. That's a bit of a pipe dream for us. But we do institutional things like aged care, schools. We do that very well. Welfare situations. We'll make an organisation and there'll be this ongoing welfare thing. We do that very well. And so a cafe is a little bit institutional. It's setting up a thing. It's a business. And so that just caught the idea of people. So it's halfway between a lot of things. It's institutional, but it's evangelical. It's relationship building, but it's a clearly defined business thing. So it ticks a lot of boxes for the Lutheran way of doing things. And as well as that, we just needed a halfway thing between the church and the school and the church and the community. And it's ticking that box as well.
Hmm. So the cafe is located at the front of the church, is that right?
No, it's not quite at the front. Well, it's physically central to our complex. So it's a little bit invisible at the moment. We really need to make it more visible. I don't know how we do that, but we're working on that. But it's located very well. It's just spitting distance from the church and the school office. So the teachers rather like that idea.
I'll bet they do. And yeah. So is that mainly staffed by volunteers or staffed by one paid person through your grant?
One paid person through the grant. Well, the grant's run out now, but we're still going, so that's good. So we've got a paid barista plus a volunteer. So even though it's not that busy, we've gone for the volunteer as well. So there's always someone to talk to. There's always someone to sit down and have a chat with someone who comes in, and there's no rush, nothing's rushed. You're just standing around talking and being available for people.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of hours does that operate?
Four mornings a week, 8 to 12, Tuesday to Friday. Monday was a bit of a dead day, so we dropped that off and we just increased the hours on the other 4 days, and that's working a whole lot better.
Fantastic. Oh, that's great. Mm. And we know how Lutherans love our coffee. That's important. And in fact, a lot of people in the wider community will engage over coffee. Yeah. So it's very much a chance to bring a friend to church without it being to a service.
That's right.
So, and what is the demographic of your congregation? What sort of size are we talking about at the moment and what sort of age range are most members?
Probably the average attendance on a Sunday morning would be 50 or 60 people to the first service, which is a traditional service, and the second service, which is more of an outreach service, you've probably got 30 to 40 on a Sunday morning. The traditional service, I think a median age is probably 75, quite an old congregation. And the second service, you're starting to get younger people and starting to get a few more kids and families coming in. So it doesn't quite meet the demographic of Gatton. Gatton is a much younger demographic, but, you know, we're reaching the people that we've got.
Absolutely. And what about the country music gatherings? What happens with those?
Well, they used to happen. We used to have country music gatherings or country gospel afternoons, which was a bit of a fundraiser for chaplaincy. And that stopped during COVID. And then the guy that was heading that up, he died and a few other people got too old and that kind of thing. So that sort of fizzled out. What I'm trying to do at the moment, and I've just sent out an invitation to a few people, I'm going to start a new one in my backyard. And it's going to be country gospel. So it's going to be Pastor Rob and Friends, Music on the Porch. So we'll see how that goes. That should be fun. I'll enjoy myself anyway, whether anyone comes or not.
So what sort of time and day would you do that type of thing?
We're going to try a Sunday afternoon, start about 5 o'clock. and have a few songs and then have the barbecue going on in the background and see how it goes. Send people home when they get sick of it or something, or when I get sick of it.
Sounds brilliant. So you play guitar and sing?
Yes. Band here in church don't like country music, so I'm going to do it myself.
Well, that's all the questions I have. Do you have anything else you wanted to add?
I just want to encourage people to give stuff a go. It's not important how fancy it looks. The idea is appropriateness. So if there's something that's appropriate for your community, for your people, that could be an idea, even better if they come up with it themselves, then push it, encourage it, facilitate it, create, break down every wall to make it happen. Because if people can connect with their own little mission, they're going to get excited about it, they're going to run with it, and it's going to be a success in some way. You know, God loves the little guy trying to give his mission a go, and he will facilitate that. And that's how the church grows.
Thanks so much, Pastor Rob, for joining me today and for giving us an insight into Bring a Friend Sunday and other things that are happening at Peace Gatton and in your local community.
Well, thanks, Lisa, for having me on and giving me the opportunity to go on and on about things that I'm really excited about.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us today. If you're not already a Laudio subscriber, go to www.lca.org.au/podcast to sign up to be notified each time a new podcast is released. God bless and bye for now.